Podcast with Majestic and Gazza.
Hello and welcome to the Same Old Spurs podcast with me, Majestic, Gazza and Simo as we come together. It's currently quarter past eight on a Tuesday evening, but it's quarter past 11 in Dubai, isn't it, Simo?
It is, mate, and it's been biblical weather today. When it rains in Dubai, it rains like more than cats and dogs. It's been like elephants, lions, tigers, giraffes, the full works. It is literally like running down the road, and I'm not exaggerating. It's crazy. There's people, and this is not, I'm not lying, there are people on jet skis riding around on the streets.
Loads of time for that.
Does that be you guys a bit jet skiing the street?
Absolutely. Love a jet ski, mate.
I can see you just in a pair of sort of like purple shiny pants on a jet ski.
Harry Kane badge on him.
The Harry Kane pajamas. This week's therapy. Welcome along to the Same Old Spurs therapy, because we went to St. James's Park and for the second time in a row, we got absolutely battered, Gaz.
I'll tell you what, it was so, so disappointing because socially, when you get a little bit older, as everyone knows, it can be a little bit difficult to get together with pals and friends that you haven't seen for periods of time. And met up with a pal on Saturday, all geared around the Spurs game, as I'm sure many other Spurs fans up and down the country and all around the world have done as well. And it's a major, major disappointment. Off the back of that Nottingham Forest win, you go there. Big, big game. You look at the teams when they're announced as well. Spurs, you thought, strong team, that. Fancy that 11 to do a bit. Newcastle, so many players out, as we touched on the last podcast. And it was a really, 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 really disappointment, mate. Real big disappointment.
You know what, Simo? I didn't do that. I kind of almost fell in my bones, St. James's Park. I know we've actually got quite a good record up there previously to these results. But I had my own football and I was not giving it up for Spurs this weekend because I'm a bit bored of Spurs. But we will come on to that in a moment. We're also going to be talking about the fact that Spurs are on the way to Wembley. And like most things in life, it's taken the women to show us how it's done. So congratulations to the Spurs ladies. And also we're going to be talking a bit about Dele Alli, former Spurs player. He was on Monday Night Football last night. Loads to come. Get involved on the socials at Same Old Spurs Pod. It's Magic, Gaz, it's Simo. It's SOS.
The Same Old Spurs Podcast with Majestic and Gazza.
That's right. This is the Same Old Spurs Podcast. Magic, Gaz, and Simo together. Well, we're not together in the same room because one's in Dubai where it's raining. We have a nice sunny day here today, Gaz.
Bit chilly now, though.
It's a little bit chilly, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely is.
I'll tell you what, gentlemen, we've been having a discussion before this podcast, haven't we?
We have been.
About a Same Old Spurs membership, Simo.
Yeah, I think it's let me start from this point. It's been an absolute honour to join the party with you guys because I have been a massive fan of the show. So I'd never missed a show since the 4 years you started with it. And it reminded me very much of my journey with Rugby AM from my garage. I created a show that came on radio, then went through onto TV, onto national TV. Great journey. And I see so much synergy with what you guys have kind of built, a cult following, some really kind of loyal listeners who love what you do. And I'm one of them. I'm a fan of the show. And now I get to sit with you guys and talk about Spurs, what we all love, right? And I just feel like that it's probably ready to go to another step, whether it's, you know, running events, whether it's getting some commercial partners, making more content. I've been involved and following a guy called All Right Fans. I don't know if you've seen him on Instagram. I think it's one of the best, most intelligent. I know it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek, and it's a bit of a Mickey take, but the way he tells stories, the way he makes characters out of famous football icons and presenters and celebrities, but if you actually follow it week on week, it's a complete story that's just keep running and running layers, building and building, and it's hilarious. And I think that his patron is our patron, however you say it, is brilliant. And I think that's something that you guys can look at with Same Old Spurs. And I think actually for me personally, knowing you both as friends, I think to kind of get Gazza full-time on Same Old Spurs out of his day job, I think it is the future of Same Old Spurs. And I think that from a business perspective, need to look at all aspects of how, as fans, as I could support that end to make more content. I think that, to me, is the future, and that's something that we've been speaking about. And I think that for next season, I think I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to be able to get a patron for Same Old Spurs, get more content, and look at how Same Old Spurs can be the kind of podcast for the fan, if that makes sense.
I completely agree with you, Simo, and I think over the last 4 years, we've created a community at Same Old Spurs, and I think community is everything. It's the essence of everything in life, and I think what we've got with the SOS family is a unique insight into friendship, you know, family, and football, because that's what we're all here united by one thing. You know, obviously I often talk about, you know, my kids and my wife on here, and Gazza talks about his dad and his girl and his daughter. You know, there's so many different nuances, and I think a lot of people are invested in us as people. And I definitely think for Gaz, being someone who's, you know, he works 9 to 5, he grafts as well as doing his podcast, I think for you, Gaz, having that time away to actually really invest your energy into creating even more SOS content, I think you'd enjoy it for one, and I think our listeners would.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think anyone that's listened to the podcast over what, this our fourth season now, will know that I'm a very passionate Spurs fan.
Oh yes.
As we all are. We're all on a roller coaster together. And I think that just having the opportunity and the time, as we've touched on there, to actually just come up with a bit more content and build that SOS family, the SOS fam hashtag that we've always mentioned and always touched on, is something that I'm really, really keen on doing and really want to do and want to get into it as soon as possible. So as Simo touched on, hopefully next season will be the start of a journey that I want everyone listening today to be a part of.
Well, this is it, Simo. I think if we have a bit of almost a call to action via the podcast now, those that are listening to us, and, you know, we get a very good amount of listeners each week on the podcast. I urge you, if you're listening to this right now, whether you're sat in your car on the way to work, you might be in the gym in your headphones, you might be for a walk, you might be listening to it with your family. I know a lot of families listen to this podcast. I ask you whether you think or not that £5 every month, just £5, right? You can't even get a McDonald's large meal for that now, Simo. And trust me, we've had a McDonald's over the years, haven't we, Sim?
I've had a few. I think it's a price point that, you know, it, as it grows into being more of a business, I think it's something that is a natural kind of progression. I think that creating like a membership and a network of true fans that really kind of want to grow and go on a journey with the podcast. I think with Gazza, with yourself, Margin, and honestly, I've been very privileged to listen to some of the conversations and having people like Paul Robinson on and some of the guests who are coming up. I think that it's only going to grow, and I think the key to it is kind of getting that person day to day who's going to drive it, and that'll be Gazza. So it's exciting, mate. It's really, really exciting, and it's more than football. It's more than football, and that's what it's about.
That's almost like the tagline there, Simo. It's more than football, because at the SOS, it's the three Fs: it's friendship, it's family, it's football, and that is what being a part of the hashtag SOS fam is all about.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And I think as well, there'll be a few listeners on here that can safely say that both, you know, the podcast and even just talking to Gazza on things like DMs has helped them through some dark times, and people have actually come through to us and told us that.
Yeah, there's been a few people that fortunately we've been able to help on their own individual journeys, going through tough times. We all go through tough times. So it's nice to have that person that you can reach out to and speak to about things, not just only football at times. So yeah, you come up with that hashtag SOS fam. I think that hits home true. It really does.
And I think this is it. Just moving forward, I think that what we're saying to people is this is about expanding this community. This isn't a land grab, a money grab. As you know, we all work in different sectors and we earn money in different ways. But I think definitely for Gazza to come and take this opportunity to grow our community and be the captain, so to speak, our Hunmin Son, and lead the charge with you, the SOS fam, I think that we can create great things, Simo. And who's not to say that there won't be an SOS get-together with thousands of us or in one place enjoying maybe Spurs winning some silverware at some point?
100%. I think it's the start of a journey. And I think, well, the first thing, the most important thing, is to get people's thoughts so and get their ideas, because when it's a community, I think what's really important is, do people want to see, like, regular get-togethers, like same old space, like in an event space, do they want to see more content? Do they want to see more video? Do they want to hear more pods? Do they want to have a game a year where we take 200 tickets in a section at Spurs and we all go sit together? Do they want to see like a Legends dinner? These things are, if they're going to join, would they want a mug? Would they want a retro Spurs shirt? Do they want same old Spurs merchandise? Like, these are questions that are not for us to answer. It's for people who listen to the pod. I know, as someone who's a fan of the pod, I would want like some kind of merchandise. I'd want to like be part of a club, like a joining fee, and I'd definitely want more content, more pods, because one pod is not enough, without a doubt. When you're a fan.
Well, just to bookend everything we've just been talking about, in regards to the SOS fam, feel free to message us your thoughts on the DMs on socials, Instagram, Twitter, etc., and just let us know what you think, because I really feel that we're going to grow this, and we need each other in times of need, of losing 4-0 at St. James's Park, yet again, getting absolutely hammered. Like you said, the possession was ridiculous, and the lack of goals. But again, just to, you know, I'm a tangent Terry, just to give a little positive spin on everything. And you know I'm the positive one, Gaz.
Unbelievable.
Right? It's not football related, but I just want to say a massive big up to Newcastle United. I don't know if you guys saw it, that they created shirts for, you know, fans, especially kids who are like hard of hearing or vision impaired, that like state-of-the-art technology where their shirt crest would vibrate when they'd score a goal, or it would like in different parts of the shirt it was vibrating as the atmosphere was getting more pumped. It was an incredible scene and a beautiful thing for football, Simo.
Mate, imagine the atmosphere, right? So I've seen a few adverts recently where there's friends who are kind of almost walking a blind person through the game with the fingers showing them when to score. Anything like that that's inclusive, bringing people into that moment, and especially when it's kids who, you know, are suffering and can't feel what we feel because maybe they're blind or the deaf. Anything technological that can improve that experience. Imagine like St. James's Park, which is, I don't know if you've ever been, guys, but I've been a number of times.
Rocking.
Absolutely mental. They are seriously passionate fans. And, you know, everyone loves, like, Newcastle as one of their second teams after the old Kevin Keegan, champagne football, Kevin Keegan, yeah, era.
Agreed.
And it's like, I'll never forget that, because when I'm growing up, you're looking at Ginla, Faustino Asprilla, Falbert with that chip. It's like, you'll never forget, obviously, Shearer. And it's just like, there's so many happy memories watching Newcastle just play great football as a young football fan. And seeing those crowds, imagine what it's like when you had two goals back to back, like they did Sally for us with Isaac and Anthony Gordon, and who were excellent on the day, by the way. I thought those two were just superb, and it annoys me once again after losing out on Jack Grealish, then you lose out on Anthony Gordon, and you think this is why we're not in that top three. Do you know what I mean? That's it. Really, really, really gets my goat, because when you see performances like that against us, you think if we just had a bit more bottle and we would just push that envelope a little bit sometimes in the transfer market, we'd be in a better place. Yeah,
absolutely. And guys, I don't know if you saw it as well. not nice for us because it was their fourth goal, but on their fourth goal, Dan Byrne, he celebrated to the camera by doing some sign language, which was been praised as a lovely gesture. As I mentioned, those kits as well. It was a unique thing to see before we start kind of all the dreary stuff about Spurs.
Yeah, look, obviously, I think you've hit the nail on the head with what you've said there. Fantastic. What Newcastle Football Club done there. But we have to get onto it, mate. The game, my opinion on the game, like, if you don't mind, like, Simo mentioned the possession stats for Spurs there. I mean, we mentioned them a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I'm not having possession stats. I said that to you, didn't I? I said it to you a couple of weeks ago. People get carried away with possession. Yeah, but we had 75% possession. Means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. Does not mean that you're dictating a football game necessarily in any way. And to come out of that, as you rightly said, Simo, Newcastle, just 27%, us 73%. But they rolled us over 4-0. And I looked at them Spurs marks, Spurs player ratings for the game. Vicario 6, Porro 5, Romero 6, Van de Ven, who we waxed lyrical about. I've never seen anyone give him a tough game as much as Isaac did. And we mentioned and we earmarked Isaac and Gordon being the two players who could potentially cause us some damage. And damage they did cause us, and a lot of it. Dougie 6, Bentancur 6, Bissouma 6, Madison 5, Johnson 6, Son 5, Werner 5, an all-round drab display. And a massive letdown for all the Spurs fans. Again, we've gone up there to St. James's Park and seen us get rolled. 10 goals we've conceded against Newcastle in the last two visits up there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you know what I...
Try to be positive there.
Yeah. Forget the niceties, Gaz is on one.
Yeah.
You know what it is? This week I've had so many people message me, obviously, about the result and whatever else. I'm so bored of it. Like, I'll be honest with you, boys. Like,
I hear you, yeah.
You know, what do you expect? What does anyone expect? This is my take on it. And I've been speaking to your dad a few times this week.
He told me.
He sent me a few voice notes. I'm like,
told me.
What do you expect? What more do we expect? Timo Werner is our winger. Yeah. Okay. For 15 million, I'll have him as a squad player. I don't think that's a bad squad player, but he ain't going to do anything for you. You go and have a look at the machine that is Manchester City. We can't compete. We just can't. Like, they go, hang about, let's go and buy Jack Grealish for 100 million. Then the next year, go and buy the best winger in the Europe, in Doku. Like, those players are head and shoulders above ours.
Yeah, I agree. But don't you think that's an easy way out?
It's not
to look at things at the weekend, Madge. Come on, we had enough good players on that pitch.
It's not an easy way out. It's as simple as this. We went to Newcastle, yeah? Played a high line against Anthony Gordon, who's rapid, yeah, and Isaac. Now, matey boy, big old Andrew, how you doing, fella? You know, how you doing, mate? You know, doesn't want a plan B. Well, you need a plan B, mate. It's the Premier League. Like, so it's just a naive situation from him, yeah? But I appreciate he's saying, I want to play a style of football. This is how I play. But the personnel ain't good enough. It's the exact same mirror image of the Conte thing, but our defence weren't good enough.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Simo, I'll come to you just one second. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I do think that's an easy cop-out to just say that Timo Werner and a couple of others are the reason why we didn't start there. I looked at that team. Tottenham had a strong team out of the weekend. They had more than enough to go and cause some damage against Newcastle. And you look at all the bookies' favourites before their game, but Tottenham, as Tottenham do, does not apply themselves accordingly.
So
and that's not necessarily based on what you can do on the floor of a football, but it's upstairs.
You know what? I can't have that one. You know, the application of people. Do you know why? Because, Gaz, you played football. Simo, you played football, played sport, played rugby. Sometimes in life, when you're playing a game of sports, it just don't go your way, right? And he just can't get into a game for whatever reason. Let's have it right. We're going to talk about it later on. Aston Villa's incredible victory at the Emirates, 2-0. They got rolled 5-1 at St. James's Park and 3-1 at home. At least we beat Newcastle at home, right? They lost 5-1 at St. James's Park.
You're backing up my point. You're saying this is what I'm saying is you got to apply yourself every game. You can't pick and choose your games.
But it's not about
you can't pick and
choose.
I don't
think any football player has gone to St. James's Park today and go, you know what? I don't fancy turning up. We got rolled. It happens in football.
You think the shift at Bissouma in midfield put him is good enough?
It's whether it's good enough or not. We got rolled. That's it.
Weren't good enough.
Nah, the problem, the The problem is, right, it is really simple. In Andrew's system, I think that we've got we've got a really, really strong base. I think that I'm taking the positives of what's been achieved this year in terms of setting us up for the future. And I don't think it's a bad thing, weirdly, that we have results like this every now and again for two reasons. One, to keep us all realistic because we're nowhere near where we need to be. Two, to make sure the Wolves are staying away from key players like Mickey van der Ven, because these results ask you questions. Do you know what I mean? It's like, is he actually the finished article yet? Probably not, probably a couple of years away, which is not a bad thing for us. But the key to it is, for this system to be successful, you have to have like wingers who can control the tempo when they're on the ball, and they need to be able to control the ball and influence the game in a specific tempo. That means to be able to, if you would, like Doc, who's a great example, puts his foot on the ball, he can slow the play down, he can speed the play up, he can take a man on, he can cut back inside. Jack Grealish can go inside or outside, and there's no, he's been the most foul player in the Premier League for years. He draws people in, it creates space. That's why Man City is so successful. Our wingers, it's kind of like all the best attributes individually, none of them have got enough together of those attributes. The only one who has is Son, and he's playing through the centre. So Sonny is the answer on one wing, whether that's right or left, probably left, to be fair. But then you've got Johnson, who I think is a fantastic off-the-bench player, impact player. Werner, I just don't think he's good enough for where we want to get to. So I think he needs to go back. I think we need to cut our losses with him. I think Solomon, again, is a solid squad player for you, like your Carling Cups. And, you know, if we're in the Europa League next year, I think he's a solid player to come into those kind of games as a backup. Kulusevski, I think, has got the tempo that we're looking for, but again, I think he is a player who's probably back up to Maddison, who can play across that middle section, probably more through the middle. If Maddison gets injured, or if you want to put him on the right, I think he needs to do a bit more. But I still believe we need an Eze, we need a Neto, we need somebody who is.
Oh, we know that though. We've spoke about the players, but that is not the reason that we got hammered at the weekend 4-0 to Newcastle. Newcastle had 8 or 9 players.
It's a massive part of it, guys.
Newcastle had 8 or 9 players out, yeah?
Yep.
We had Dan Burn sitting at centre half. There's one laughing about that, which Spurs would have a field day against. Tottenham Hotspur, it's simple, have too many players underperforming. It's not just them wide players. It's Bissouma in midfield. It's Bentancur who come into the team. It's Pedro Porro at right back who's defending was terrible. Van der Ven had a bad day at the office. It's not just them two wide players. There was enough on that pitch at the weekend to have a better outcome at St. James's
Park. The system that we play, there's the importance of those wingers not just doing a bit with the ball, but creating space for Maddison, for those late runs of like a Sarr, giving Son room. If they're not at it, creating space, making the correct runs, running the channels, and when they've got the ball, delivering quality. Like one of the best crosses we've seen this year was Johnson a couple of weeks ago for Sarr's goal. But it's like, I think it was Sarr anyway. But if they're not at it,
Sarr's goal for Madison's goal.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. Sarr for Maddison. If we're not at it, right? If those players, when Werner played well of the week, he scored a couple of goals. You know, everyone's thinking actually could do a bit. If our wingers aren't at it, we're not at it. It's that simple in that system. Do you know
what, Simo? Just to come across you here.
I don't agree.
You're absolutely.
I agree with the fact that the wingers need to be replaced, but you can't blame Timo Werner for the way that Bissouma played.
No, I tell you why I can blame Timo Werner, because 30 minutes into the game, we've already had 4 chances, including a very soft goal that should have been from Timo Werner. Even looking at the way that we concede the first goal, it comes from us in possession, giving the ball away in their box. Bosh, they've gone.
But that's when Minson.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's still,
again, another player underperformed at the weekend
It's all still part of the fact of the matter is, if you're going to go and dominate in high places, you need to take your chances, early doors, and get a grip of the game. We didn't do that. yet again, and this is the problem. And you allow teams in just to get into a rhythm of a game. You know, as I say, I don't think any footballer wakes up to go, I'm not going to perform today. I'm going to pick Thursday to play better than I am Sunday. Just don't get into a game. It's as simple as that.
It's too many games.
Yeah, but we're
you can't pick and choose your games. I'm not being funny.
We're at the level we're supposed to be at.
The work rate from some of them boys up there at the weekend was terrible. Nowhere near enough.
Right, we're supposed to be, because we're not as good as Man United, Man City. We're not as good as Arsenal, and we're not as good as Liverpool.
I'm not disputing that.
We're probably the same level as Villa.
I'm not disputing that our wide men need to be replaced. We spoke about it on numerous podcasts about Timo Werner, about Brennan Johnson. Only last one saying that moving forward, I said they're going to be our squad players, not the players you need to rely on from the get go.
Yeah, so if you blame them two
as being the main catalyst behind Tottenham. Defeat at St James's Park at the weekend. I don't agree with it. Yeah,
but people go on.
Players underperforming.
People go on like you can't lose in football. You're going to lose some games.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to lose.
When was the last time you like Spurs had a good 90 minutes? Can't remember. Ooh. Mate. Can't remember a solid 90 minutes from in a good start in a game, good second half. Can't see it, mate. It's not a, you try and think back.
When Madison came back about three games in, it were at home. I can't remember who it was against, but we were good both halves. It was one of the best halves I'd seen in football that we'd played all year. And then second half, it were good again. That was the best one I've seen this year. I can't remember who it was against, though.
I just have faith that the manager will address these problems. That's what it is. Look, you can talk about it in a bit of naivety going up to St. James's Park, as you might have touched on, match with a high line. I do think that Ange has not got the correct balance yet in between what's required defensively and offensively.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you both a question? Do you think, are you worried that he might go to Liverpool?
Who?
Ange. No, at all.
I don't think Liverpool would have him.
Yeah.
You know what I reckon?
I don't think Liverpool would have him at the moment.
Maybe.
You know it's for me, right? And this is my final thoughts on it. Nah, this doesn't bode well because we do a podcast. Yeah. We're supposed to talk about it. But
it's a good debate to have.
The debate is so simple for me, yeah? But it's not good because I'm supposed to do a podcast. We're supposed to like stretch things out. This is how it is for me, yeah? We sold the best striker we've ever had, and I'll put my Harry Kane pajamas back on for this one. Yeah.
Can I borrow mine?
I'll borrow yours, yeah. So we sold our best striker ever last season, right? Paul Merson and co expected us to finish in the bottom half of the table. Yeah. We're not there, right? I'll tell you something. Our plan B, yeah, do you know what his name was? Ivan Perisic.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you go back to the start of the season when we beat Manchester United 2-0 at home, got away with it in the first half.
Yeah,
Sarr scored. Mate, he came on, yeah, and the ball that he puts through towards Madison for us to score our goal, ain't no one else with a footballing brain like him in our team. Now, he has, honestly, we used to watch him last year, guys, didn't we? We used to see him get annoyed with Ben Davies because people weren't on his footballing brain level.
Yeah, we've mentioned him.
He'd make runs and he'd be in positions where they couldn't see him. Now, a lot of people, oh, he's old. Mate, what Perisic had to offer us was so different to everyone else in our team. We don't have that other option now. So when you're trying to break down two banks of four, it becomes very frustrating and very difficult, especially when you've got these wingers, like you said, that have no ability to control the tempo of how they're running that. The tempo is controlled by the way that the defender either pushes them inside or down the wing. The last time, I tell you, we played well for a long period of time.
90 minutes
was against Newcastle at home, right? And do you know who played on the left wing? Heung-min Son. And do you know who he went against? Trippier, and caused them all sorts of problems. Can you believe it? We're missing Rishi big time, right? We're missing him and what he does up top. Without at the moment, it's like we've got three wingers playing across the front three. They all get in each other's way. It's very frustrating.
Strange. It's strange football because football changes week to week. This is what really is difficult as a Spurs fan. One minute you're making an assessment, the next minute you're given a different type of assessment. It's based on results and performances. One week is this, the next week is that. You look at the manager, he's not chopping and changing that central midfield, isn't he?
Well, not chopping.
There's a reason.
But he's not chopping and changing it enough for me, because why did Basuma start? Yeah. We all identified Basuma's not been at it.
Again, beginning of the season, big number eight, big thing. He's thrown his hat in and he's given him another opportunity. The manager have to start looking at this going, I'm not going to give you too many more. We'll see moving forward. But that central area, that central midfield area, Lil Sarr, now he's a young lad, 21, 22 years of age, was playing fantastically for Spurs. It was brilliant. Fallen off just a little bit. Performances levels just dipped. He's in and out of the team. Bentancur, everyone was talking about him starting at the weekend, comes into the play. didn't quite deliver enough. Chopping and changing in that area, Madge, it's not good. And there's a reason why. It's because they're not eventually performing. So there's different areas on the
football pitch. In that area in the team, your spine is so important. He's got to find it, and he's got to stick with it. And it looks to me like it's going to be Bissouma with either Saar or Bentancur. But I think he's got to make a decision. And yeah, but he's not going to.
Bissouma needs some time out. We said it last week
on the pod, mate. He sees something that we don't. But I'm telling you now, he's got better eyes than us, and I'll back him because he sees these players week in, week out. And Bissouma at the start of the season was one of the best players in the Premier League. He needs to get back to that. And the only way they're going to get back to that is confidence and consistency.
I keep hearing that one, and I agree with you there. I keep hearing that one. That's a long time ago, a hell of a long time ago. And there's been a lot of drab performances in that time. And like, there's players at Spurs who are there to play. And you got to be performing, mate. He's got a big decision to make against Tuuri selecting that central midfield against Arsenal.
Do you know what it is with me as well? I just almost come to the level of acceptance. I don't get annoyed the way that everyone else is getting annoyed. Like, I know what this is. This is Tottenham.
You know what, mate? I can agree with you for the first time tonight.
What do you like, want? Do you think I'm not going to play for Ignatius at 12:30 on a Saturday afternoon? Because we're playing at St. James's Park.
I agree with you, mate.
You got it well wrong, guys. You should have had a good game with us. We probably would have won if you were there. But we lost 2-1. Good game. I'm not going to go out of my way, right, to like, see with Spurs. If you're listening to this right now, yeah, don't let Spurs ruin your weekend. Do you think any of them boys there went home in their 30 grand Louis Vuitton jackets in their Lamborghini and let it get to them?
No, I don't agree.
This is why this discussion about it is so...
Who, well, for me, should start against Arsenal, who would actually be really upset about the result. And I would definitely have him in the team against Arsenal. Is your skinny brother Højbjerg? I think he's the person. Mate, I think we need him back in at the minute.
Mate, I don't know why he didn't play it on the weekend.
Someone who he might not be the best player right now, technically, compared to where he was, but he leaves it all on the pitch. He gives it 100%. And I think against Arsenal, we need him. Personally, that's my opinion. I think we're really missing that combative approach within the midfield and a bit of steel. And I think that he would be, for me, the direction I'd move in. And I'd probably go him and Bentancur to start against Arsenal and Madison. I think we'd get a better kind of balance and more competitive.
But they played that at the weekend, Simo. They played that. That was the three they played at the weekend.
What, Højbjerg?
I'm on about Bissouma, Bentancur. He's not going to play Højbjerg.
100% I'd have him in against Arsenal.
So he's playing 100%. The players.
Be cool.
The only things I'll dig out from the weekend, is Adogi. What's he doing for the first goal? Yeah. That's awful weak from him. Yeah. He's been good. He's come off the boil a lot, right?
For the second goal,
what's Pedro Porro doing with that ball?
That's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is too many of them. But none of them have woke up and go, you know what, boys? I'm going to play crap today. Like, it doesn't work like that. I just think that idea of, like, they're not putting in a shift and they're not applying themselves. You can't pick and choose the games you turn up to.
You reckon they're making individual mistakes because what reason?
Because you're playing at the highest level of football at St. James's Park at 12:30 and it's rocking. It's going to get to you.
I'm not having that. But yeah, that's your opinion on
okay,
that.
Okay, you know, like,
I think that's what separates the top players than the players who are not going to be.
Yeah, and how many top players have we got on our team? Not that many.
I'll tell you what, though, we wax lyrical about him enough. Yeah, Pedro Porro, don't we? We mention him saying he's a top fullback. We do. The centre halves. I'm not being funny. How many? You know our centre halves.
Yeah.
Would you say they'd get into most of the top teams in Europe? Would the left back? They would. Nah, but the difference is they're picking and choosing the games. I know you don't agree with that, but you have to be at it. But you have to be at it.
No, I'll tell you the difference, right?
You have to be switched on and sharp.
Our defenders do not set up to defend. And that for me is, you know, you look back to the old bloody Arsenal team, 1-0 to Arsenal. You had that back four of Winterburn, Dixon, Tony Adams, Martin Keogh, and Steve Bould. They set up not to concede. We, as a back four, we've got a wonderfully talented back four who, Pedro, especially Porro and Udogie, they might as well be wingers. That's their first thought is going forward. It's not defending. We get out of jail because of the quality we've got at the back. We simply get out of jail. And yeah, it's great to watch. Yeah, it's going forward. But when we come up against good players and good teams who can understand our high line and get around it, like with a bit of skill, Isaac was superb. Andy Gordon was superb. They exposed us for our gung-ho style, and I just think that actually alongside the wingers, which I will hang my hat on is a big issue for us, the quality, it's actually the mentality of our defenders is not to not concede. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that we need to have a bit of a shift in mentality in terms of let's actually go out to be a solid unit. If Udogie, you know, runs into midfield, like I'll tell you now, we'd have been more solid with Ben Davis on the weekend at left back because he's you know, he's going to tuck in and he's going to keep his line, and they're going to communicate, right?
Defensive minded.
But the manager's not going to go that route, mate. He's got his philosophy. He's not going to change his ways. That's quite clear. We've only got what? How many games left?
Mentality.
Eight games left or six games left.
Of the player. Of the player.
I think we've got left. Yeah, but you know what? I get that, but the errors that we're making are really basic ones. Like, you can't blame a philosophy on Pedro.
But what I'm saying is, if they went out on the, if the back four went out on the field and said,
it's costing us.
You know, when they go in the huddle and they go, right, today, we're not going to concede. So we're not going to take a stupid risk and play a silly pass. We're not going to do, you know, and just set some actual standards. They're not going to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
I just think we need to get a bit more, you know, focused on defending rather than.
Yeah, well. You look at the argument, Madge. I know you said about you're not having that one and you think it's not an issue and you can't pick and choose your games. But you look at Arsenal, the tag that they're gonna probably have over the next couple of weeks is what? The bottle jobs. Do you think they turn up to the Emirates at the weekend saying we're going to bottle this against Villa? Do you think that?
Of course not.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But
so you're proving my point.
No, I'm not. I'm not proving your point.
You are, because you're saying no one picks and chooses a game that they want to lose.
Exactly. No, but no one picks and chooses. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying, with that Arsenal group at the weekend, yeah.
So you just proved my point.
No, how?
Because you're just saying, I've just said, no elite sportsman wakes up and goes, you know, I don't fancy.
The point I'm trying to say, you've got to be at it every game.
Yeah, but you can be that's at it and I'm still lose.
You've got to be at it every single
I thought game. Arsenal were pretty much at it in the weekend and they still lost.
But they
it
got
can
beat.
Happen. Because, yeah. They got beaten by Aston Villa, who are no mugs, the same way we got beaten by Newcastle.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens over to the rest.
There's a reason. Listen, there's a reason why Isaac has £100 million on his head right now. There's a reason why Anthony Gordon went to Newcastle for £60 million. They're good players. Like, we have this. This is why a lot of people, like other fans, think we're dickheads sometimes, because we've got this divine right that we're going to go to St. James's Park and beat Newcastle.
No, no one's saying that you're going to beat them, but you don't get beat 4-0. But and you play better than what
you don't
we
get
did.
Beat 5-1
and from an individual point of view, you got to put in a bit more of a shift than what we did.
You but
play better and do
how,
the basics.
How are we assessing,
have a bit of fire and sharp.
How
and
are we assessing the shift of look? They're all doing what they're told. I'm watching it back now. We're all in front. We're all attacking. Yeah, all of us now are in the final third.
So we played well then. Yeah,
I'm not saying we played well, but look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 Spurs players are in the final third and we're on the edge of the box, we're attacking. Now, what's going to happen is if you do not make something of those attacks, if you do not hold on to the ball and you lose possession and they've got Anthony Gordon and Isaac waiting to go, then what happens is you lose 4-0. That is what playing this high line is. So that all comes back down to the manager and his philosophy.
But again, yeah, I agree with you. But we've spoke about Ange. This is what I'm saying. It's quite difficult because of the how inconsistent the team are on the pitch this year. We spoke about Ange one week saying how refreshing he is. He's great. I love him. Then the next week, we're questioning his moves and his tactics. It's difficult to me.
But I'm not questioning the tactics. I'm down for it. And I said all summer, I said all for the start of the season, this is a free hit for me. Get me on the roller coaster because I'm in. All in. Put me in the front seat. We're going to win some, we're going to lose some, but you know what, like, it's going to be, at least it'll be entertaining, you know what I mean?
And but yeah, that's another point. Look, you
but Saturday weren't entertaining.
Come on, mate, as I said to you, when was the last 90 minutes we had with Steve?
Because people it's have found us out. It's easy to play against Tottenham.
Long time, mate.
Yeah, people, it's easy a to play against Tottenham ago. So what you need to do now is you go again, and as Simo's rightly said, those people on those wide, ironically, we look like a better team with Solomon in it. Right. Yeah, at least he had a bit of footwork.
It's difficult, mate, because you're trying to come up with reasons, all of us in here, and conjure
there's no reason
ways as to what's right and what's wrong, and it's just part of football because it'll change next week. Because if we get a positive result against Arsenal and Brendan Johnson scores or something, Basuma plays well in central midfield, we'll be saying how good they are. It's fickle. Football fans are the most fickle people.
I'm not. My stance has remained the same from the start of the season to now. Whatever happens,
I'll try and find a clip,
mate. No, I said it's a free hit. This season's a free hit for me. If we get Champions League football this year, which I don't know, it's very difficult. Yeah, wow, what an achievement we've made. And then everyone else, what the
definitely,
hell?
Yeah,
what the hell? Champions League football's no good. I'm in Spurs pod. I'm in Spurs groups that I want to leave. I should leave because people's energy, man. Like, bro, why is everyone so bloody negative? What if we lost 4-0, we got battered at Newcastle? It was rubbish. Let's go
just
again.
It's tough to take, mate, when
bro, do you not remember getting battered under like Ozzy Ardiles playing like this?
No, but you've made a good point that you can separate and detach yourself from it. Yeah,
do it.
There's a lot of fans that can't.
Well, guys, listen.
It's not an easy thing to do, mate.
As part of the SOS fam, we're going to be starting a yoga retreat with Madge in Dubai.
Get me on, remember,
you have no control over these football players. You have no control over the outcome. You have no control over the result. Just strap in for the ride and lessen your expectations, yeah? This ain't Chaz and Dave Spurs of 1987 where we still lost the cup final to Coventry, yeah? This ain't the glory days of the, as it was then, the UEFA Cups and we'd win beating Anderlecht in the final. No, this is Spurs now. And the realistic thing is, we are in a league that is the most competitive league in the world, yeah? And you look at it, it's so competitive that the league underneath us, yeah, in the Championship, nobody wants to win right now because it's like Leeds, Ipswich, Leicester, who's it going to be? All these former Premier League Cups. We are operating at the highest level. I agree with you in terms of at the highest level, guys, you can't switch off and you can't make mistakes. That's what I agree with you. But I don't think any footballer goes out and goes, I don't fancy it today. Nobody wakes up and does that. It can just happen. You see it at our football. There'll be times we go over to the Power League, guys, and we're on it doing Van Basten's.
Maybe we give a little bit too much credit to some of our players then and rate them a little bit too highly.
Maybe.
Because that might be a little bit of it. Because I'll tell you one thing, the group at Manchester City, them individuals, they turn up, mate. They play well every game. So maybe we give too many of these Spurs boys a pump when really...
Yeah, but we're not Man City.
Really, we probably should be a little bit more.
What we've got to look at, boys, really is, like Man says, we take that helicopter view. So helicopter view is where you fly up above the situation, look at it above it all and go, right, the season, looking at the season, has it been good, has it been bad? Has Ange been a better breath of fresh air? And you look at it, obviously, Madge spends a few quid in his prawn sandwich seats. Will he go again next year? 1,000,000%. Because it actually, he's had a great experience. Leo's loved the games. People have fallen back in love with the club. Daniel Levy's had an easy ride off the fans this year. The squad's in a mild place. Like, all we spoke about the first 10 weeks of the season is how amazing the business has been. So it's like, looking at where we're actually at, we're in a really good place. And a lot of players have looked at Tottenham and gone, I'd play there. I want to play there under Ange, whether it's Eze or whoever it might be. I think in the summer, they go again. They get 5 or 6 players through the door. Ideally, they find either Harry Kane coming back or replacement Harry Kane who can do big numbers through the middle, and we get rid of a bit more dead wood. And again, then next year we're back in Europe, and it grows, and it might be another year, another 2 windows before realistically we're competing for trophies where we get into semi-finals. If you remember, it took Poch a while, do you know what I mean, to get to that where we're looking at getting to, I know we didn't convert, but cup finals, semi-finals, regular. And that's, you know, if Ange gets there, I think he wins them, to be honest, with his experience, with his man management. I think we get one over the line. It's all about trophies, but I don't think it's like a thing now. I think that when I take a helicopter view, actually really, really happy with this year. I'm pissed off we went to Newcastle and lost 4-0. Yeah, it ruined my weekend on a Saturday morning. Absolutely ruined my weekend off. But you know what? Helicopter view, we're in a good place. We're better than where we were. And we move forward. And obviously, we can now get to enjoy Madge talking about the Bundesliga updates. So there's loads of positives to being a Spurs fan for me this year.
What do you reckon, Gaz?
What about that? What Simo just said? I think it's difficult because, I've been to near enough every single game this year at home. And I think that it's, as I said, I can't remember a 90 minutes that we've played well. There's a lot of moments and spells in games where Spurs are, you're frustrated as a fan, whether it be through just the way we're playing or individual mistakes or not picking up from a set play or not marked from a corner. And there's been a lot of frustrating moments, but I'd have to echo what Simo says. Look, in football, it's all about progression. I think that we've been a little bit, we've been fortunate that in the way that we've only had to play one game a week. Some people look at that and go, well, really? Isn't it about momentum? The more football you play, the more you can all obviously get familiar with a formation, et cetera, et cetera. But we've only had to play one game a week. We've had a lot of time to work on things on the training ground. We got knocked out of the cups very, very early. You could probably look at the Manchester United's, Newcastle and Chelsea's of this year and sort of saying they've underperformed massively. Has that helped us out a little bit? It has potentially to finish where we are. But look, if any Spurs fan was sat down and someone said, look, we're going to finish fifth at the beginning of the season, we'd have bit your hand off. But it's very easy and simple to look at things like that. With, as you said, Simo, looking at things from up above. But the reality is there's been a lot of frustration in games and it's difficult sometimes to watch our club.
Yeah, I can take that. I just, as I say, anyone else is in Gaza's boat, come here, give me a hug. Let's regroup. Because it's not
therapy.
Therapy is what we're here for.
It's been therapy today. It's been therapy today.
There's a lot of people. Really, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have had to switch off from. I know you keep it easy for you to put on it, but I speak to a lot of fans, a lot of people, a lot of football people, as you do. And I'm telling you, it's been a tough start to the week for them.
Yeah, I know.
Really, really tough start.
Guys, so go get yourself out for a walk. Do something else. Like, it's honestly, people, like, yeah, it is not the end of the world.
As I said from the start, we're passionate fans. We're doing a podcast.
I'm passionate fan. I've just signed away another stupid amount of money to give me a season ticket for next year.
This is what
times two.
It lives with us.
We're a sucker for the pain.
Sleep and breathe football.
We're suckers for the pain, Simo.
But boys, Arsenal got beat. So it's all all right.
That did make it a little bit bad, didn't it?
It did make it a lot sweeter. And genuinely, I was so down. And then a Sunday night comes, we're watching that game, and I'm like, yeah, it's not too bad because they can just give it to all them lot. Because, you know, yeah, we're not performing, but those men have been giving it so much recently. And I was just waiting. I was just, when Ollie Watkins scored that second, I'm like, yes.
Oh, I celebrated hard.
Loved it.
And don't forget as well that Man United drawing with Bournemouth was a great result for us as well. Because we're all on 32 points. Newcastle and Man United are 10 points behind us, right? Cool. So you're looking over your shoulder a little bit. Okay, we got some tough fixtures coming up for sure. You know what? The Newcastle fans are messaging me on Talk Sports, one of them, going, if you look at Newcastle's games against Spurs' games to come, mate, they've got Crystal Palace away, they host Sheffield United, they're away to Burnley, they host Brighton, they go away to Old Trafford and they finish away at Brentford. Again, there's no easy game in the Premier League, but there's no Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea like us.
Man City.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, who knows?
They could win all those games.
One thing I will say, they could.
Frustrating one out of that one at the weekend was the goal for me, which I think could easily come down to, was that goal difference swing. Tottenham going into that game had a 3+ on Villa. You know what I mean? After one footballing weekend, Villa come out with a 3+.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's unbelievable, that turnaround, that. And that is a big, big thing, because it could easily come down to
Absolutely. Goal
difference at the end of the season. So it's almost like we got hit for 4 points at the weekend.
Understand.
You know what I mean? So that was another little tough one to take. But look, that Arsenal there, and you're hoping the wheels are coming off, and it would give me nothing but more satisfaction than to see them wheels, because they're wobbling, and they are wobbling big time. And they come to our football ground, and that's our next game. Not this, obviously, not this weekend. Following weekend on Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Seems like forever, doesn't it?
I can't wait for that game, honestly, because anything could happen.
Honestly,
how do you predict that game?
I would honestly, happily finish sixth if we beat them. I'd happily lose every other game this year if we beat them at home, and it stops them winning title.
I'd finish fourth from bottom if they don't win.
Yeah, I agree. I would genuinely
fourth from bottom
if they don't win the title, and we beat them, and they don't win the title. I would happily finish anywhere else in the league and not win another game, not score another goal, as long as we beat them. Honestly, that's how much I hate.
This is what we need to do. We need to beat them, yeah, and we need to let City win. That's it.
Imagine if the big Eric Dyer was to notch tomorrow, and then like they go,
oh man,
that'd be the icing.
Imagine if Ange played the kids against City. I'd love that. Housery.
I've got loads of time for that.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it.
Dane Scarlett up front, leading the line.
We might even get a game match.
We'll be in, mate.
Brian Hill on the wing.
Bye.
But I'll tell you what, yeah, it'd be magnificent. But you know what? In other news, guys, you know what's happening, yeah. It's time for the Bundesliga update.
Bundesliga updates, sponsored by Skechers. Skechers are worn by the greatest, Harry Kane.
Bayern Munich, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Welcome back to the Same Old Spurs podcast, aka Therapy Tonight. Okay, come give me a cuddle. honestly, boys and girls.
I've had someone come in, they've checked my heart rate.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm fine.
There's a few others out there I want checking up on to see if they're okay. But listen, boys and girls, my weekend was made before the Arsenal result. Actually, it happened on the same day, because Bayer Leverkusen become the Bundesliga champions. Oh, what have I said all season? I told you this season I've been very consistent. It's a free hit for me with Tottenham. Bayern Munich ain't going to win the league. All is good.
Tell you what, mate, just give me the winning numbers for the lottery and we're flying.
I know. Mate, Granit Xhaka left Arsenal and went and won something. Harry Kane, the big man, the Don, left Tottenham Hotspur, record number of goals. Any points are they off? Off of Bayer Leverkusen, who have now won the league?
12, 13.
I'm not too sure, mate. But look, Sim, I don't know if you want to
tell you.
It's an unbelievable achievement from Bayer Leverkusen. And Bayern Munich, look, mate, you saw what they were capable of with the Emirates. Like, they when they turn it on, they can do a little bit. And let's hope they can do it tomorrow, because they've fallen short in the league, mate, that's for sure.
Mate, I saw a really interesting little reel on Insta today. Jose Mourinho talking about Xabi Alonso, saying, and this is in 2019, saying, Xabi Alonso, he grew up like me. He became a player, much better player than me. His father was a manager. He played under me. At Real Madrid, Ancelotti, at Guardiola under Bayern, and at Benitez under Liverpool. He's got all the attributes to become a top manager, and this is 2019. And what he's achieved in his first proper job, like big job, the first ever time that they've ever won the Bundesliga.
Imagine it.
Mate, that cannot be underestimated. 120 years the club's been going, the first ever time they've won the Bundesliga, to build a squad like he's built. And the big thing is, it's still in Europe. They haven't lost a game. They haven't lost. To go unbeaten, I think it's 43 games now, they're unbeaten. And he had a great, when he took over the team, they were second from bottom. And he's completely galvanized the club, the culture. He's brought some amazing players in. He's got the best out of these players. And he is the hottest ticket. And I think that he'll go to either Liverpool or Real Madrid, not next year. Obviously, he's doing another year at Bayern, Leverkusen. But I'd love, you know, he's the next Klopp for me. I think he's, you look at him and you're thinking, he's a really, really, and when you see Mourinho speaking about him, and he played a position where he was in the heart of the midfield, super intelligent, amazing tactician. And yeah, I just think we're seeing the birth of what could be. You know, when you look at that, you had Ferguson and Wenger, you had Mourinho and Ferguson, then Keegan and Ferguson, then you had obviously Klopp and Guardiola, Mourinho, Guardiola. And you're looking at that now and you're thinking, this is the next guy. Do you know what I mean? Wherever he ends up going, he's the next guy who's going to be that Uber manager who's going to compete with a Guardiola or somebody else. And it's like, I'm really excited to see his progression and how it goes forward. And yeah, I think it's great to see for world football that we're getting another superstar manager who clearly has got unbelievable talent. I think he's the closest thing to Pep that we've seen coming through. And yeah, it's really refreshing. It's brilliant. It's brilliant for the world football to see it and see a club.
And like I said, Harry Kane left Spurs to go and win trophies. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to this year's Bundesliga winners by Leverkusen.
Das Bundesliga Updates, sponsored by Skechers. Skechers are worn by the greatest, Harry Kane.
Come on, Munich, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Welcome back to the Same Old Spurs podcast. Madge, Gaz and Simo. You know, we just talked about the fact that the Bayern Munich, they didn't win it. No, Bayer Leverkusen won the Bundesliga. So there's some silverware there. At the weekend, the Spurs ladies have made it to Wembley. They played Leicester in the semi-finals of the Women's FA Cup. They now face Manchester United in the final. They went 1-0 down, Gaz, after 12 minutes. But a goal from Jessica Naz in the 83rd minute then led to, of course, extra time where Martha Thomas scored after 118 minutes. My sister was there with her kids. They loved it. They had a great day out there. Good numbers over Spurs, Gaz.
Brilliant. Absolutely sensational achievement. So well done to the Spurs women. I was fortunate enough to go over there this year when we beat Arsenal, ladies.
Something that
we've not managed to achieve before. Fantastic goal from back to front. And yeah, it's really, really good. You get so many different types of people there, Madge, and in particular, it's like when the men are playing, there's families around, it's a good feel factor over there. And that Spurs group have really come on leaps and bounds over the last few seasons. And for them to reach an FA Cup final, which will be at Wembley, big stage, be a lot of fans there, is a great achievement. And unlike the men's, it's hopefully they can get over the line and maybe win the thing.
What do you reckon? Chance of us winning it, Simo?
Mate, you know what? I always remember back to when the girls did the business in the Euros and the TV reporter were outside and a guy walks past and he goes, the man them couldn't do it, but the girl them came through. And it's like, you know what? It's like, do you remember? I don't know if you remember, but it was an amazing little interview. And I just think that, you know, we are an inclusive club. We're a forward-thinking club. And I think the actual girls deserve a lot of credit because we're quite a young team in terms of our progression within women's football. You know, we've come from, I think, the division below in recent times. To beat Arsenal can't be underestimated. They're like, you know, world-class team in women's football. Obviously, it's the big rivalry, and for us to get the record attendance at Spurs and beat those ladies is a huge achievement. And I think, again, it's a great showcase of where the club's going. I think that women's football is great for me as a father of a girl dad. I've got a little girl who's 5, and hopefully by the time she's a bit older, she's got no signs of wanting to play football. She's a very girly girl who just wants to do gymnastics at the minute, but I'd love her to play football. I'd love her to get involved. And I think it's just great that as Spurs fans, we've got a fully inclusive offering, and we're embracing the diversity of half of the fan base of the world. and yeah, bringing the girls into the club and giving him something to be really proud of. So I'm all for it, and let's hope that one of the girls can lift that trophy and bring some silverware to us, because it's better the boys have done it.
On a real note, guys, do you think that, because we do get mocked about the old trophy situation, do you think that will lead to even more mocking?
Absolutely.
It will, won't it?
It's more means incoming. It's just going to happen. But look, you still want to win the thing. I'm going to try and get there. I'm going to try and make an effort to get there. I think it'd be a really good day out. Look, we've got a
lot. Elsie?
Do you know what, mate? I brought her over to the Spurs Arsenal game. Didn't even, she's looking around, she's playing with everything else apart from watching the football. But yeah, no, so I won't be bringing her. But we've got a lot of lady listeners who listen to our podcast, and I tell you what, they know their stuff. So yeah, I'm sure that they'll be looking on and watching that. And let's hope we can do it, mate. Let's hope we can do it. It'd be a fantastic achievement for the women to win that FA Cup.
Well, this is it, you know, especially with the dominance with Chelsea and Arsenal over recent years in the women's game. Of course, we know that she's a Spurs fan herself in the Chelsea gaffer.
Friend of yours, Emma Hayes, yeah. Got the big gig, USA job.
She has got the big gig.
Not a bigger job in football when it comes to women.
There actually isn't. So, yeah, we wish her good luck, and I'm glad that we're not playing Chelsea in the final, because she does. I know they lost to Arsenal in the League Cup. Excuse me. And there was the whole debacle of her pushing the Arsenal manager, which all came out, didn't it? But, yeah, Spurs against Manchester United at Wembley. I've seen the tickets go on sales already. There's some good packages available, actually, like quite well priced.
I'd encourage everyone to go over there and try and back that Spurs group, because we're out after the stadium, wouldn't we? A lot of corporate, probably.
May 12th.
You'd expect weather might be all right, so get over there and cheer the ladies on.
Absolutely. Well done to the Spurs ladies there. Just to finish off, last night on Monday Night Football, there was ever guest. It was Everton against Chelsea last night. Now, you want to talk about being rolled when you need points. Everton lost 6-0. Simo. Cole Palmer, how good is he?
He looks a player, doesn't it, mate? You know what? Again, it's another one we've lost out on. Like, you know, you look at some of these players. We've mentioned two: Grealish, Gordon, Cole Palmer. Conor Gallagher could be the next one. Do you know what I mean? Probably not in the same quality in terms of on the ball creativity, but offers a lot. And you're looking at it and you're going, you know, we need to be in that conversation for these players. He has been a revelation. And it's like, I just wonder if Man City are going to really regret letting him go in a few years, because he just seems to be really growing into the shirt there, which is ominous, which I hate, because obviously it's Chelsea, who we all hate. But I think that the interesting thing for us, I don't know if you saw Roy Keane giving it about Pickford, and he's been consistent, to be fair to Roy Keane. He really don't rate him. Is it a problem for England? You know, we've got one eye on the Euros, 8 weeks away. Is it a problem, the Everton Pickford situation? Obviously, no, Ramsdale's, you know, not playing for Arsenal. You know what I mean? I know he plays. I know he steps up for England. But
yeah,
it's like,
that's it. He does.
I know what you're saying, but you can't. He's never been in this situation where it's been so bad. Like, in terms of, he ain't been playing very well. Is, you know, the writing's on the wall for Everton. You know, I don't know what the running's looking like, but, you know, Luton are pulling some results together. Burnley are pulling, I think they're undefeated in four. I don't know what happened this weekend.
They're actually, you're right about Burnley. They're starting to creep back up. Listen,
yeah, the
one thing for Everton is, and they've had all the points deducted as well, they're lucky they've got that game in hand, because they're 2 points off of the drop zone at the moment, yeah? 2 points off of Luton. They've got a game in hand. But the problem is for them, their next two games, yeah? You know what's mad in Everton's next six games, right? They've got Nottingham Forest at home,
yeah.
So that's a six-pointer. They've got the Merseyside derby at home against Liverpool, who are fighting to win the league. Then they've got Brentford, who are slipping back into those places as well. Now, this one is a massive game. 3rd of May, Luton away. Yeah? Then they host Sheffield United, and the last day of the season, they go to Arsenal. Now, Everton, wow. That could be difficult for them.
Mate, what about this? Burnley, Sheffield United at home, next away, Man United away, 2 tough away games. Newcastle at home, Tottenham away, Nottingham Forest at home. So you're looking at that and like, you got they've got to get, they've only got 5 games left, they've got to get 12 points out of 5 games. That ain't going to happen to survive. They ain't going to happen. Because they're 5 points behind now, behind Luton. So it's like they're down. Let's look at Luton fixtures.
But for me, you know, Burnley have started to turn it around a little bit too late for me, yeah? There were some good results lately. They're down. It's that one place. It's that number 18. Now, Luton Town, I've got a soft spot for. I like the way that they've conducted themselves, guys. Ross Barkley, what turnaround he's had, guys?
Yeah, look, he was obviously made the big, big move, didn't he? Linked with us, was very close to joining Tottenham. Ended up going to Chelsea. Didn't really work out for him. Filters back down through. And he ends up at Luton, and he's really turned it on for them. And he's a dangerous footballer, and I think what he loves is being the main man at a club.
Yeah, agreed.
And he's definitely that man at Luton.
Boys, dare to dream. Luton Town, Brentford at home, Wolves away, Everton at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home last game of the season. Now, the thing is, all mid-table games, none of them other teams can do anything. They're not going to go up, they're not going to go down. Maybe West Ham could get in Europe, but there's got nothing to play for. Luton Town could, I reckon, get 9 to 12 points if they go, you know, and it's get the crowd behind them. 3 home games out of 5. Against the very winnable, they're all winnable games for me, for Luton. I pray they get the stay up because it does make it interesting, right?
You know what, as well, with Luton as well, with them being close down the road, and you want them to try and stay up there. I'd love it if Luton stayed up.
Former Spurs man there as well, Andros Townsend.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Last game of the season, yeah? Like you said, Luton host Fulham.
Yeah.
Right? Everton go away to Arsenal, yeah? And Nottingham Forest go away to Burnley, who are going to want a bit of pride for their last game of the season. Now, that is going to... Right, this season's been spectacular. This is what I mean about the Premier League.
Yeah.
You can lose any game. Anyone can beat anyone. And I'll tell you how we know that. It's because City have lost 3 games this year. They're a machine. Liverpool have lost 3 games. Like, they don't lose many. They've created this... Klopp and... I'll tell you what Klopp and Guardiola will be always remembered as the two teams that made the Premier League even harder, I think.
Yeah.
Mate, have you watched the Man City documentary?
No, not yet.
Mate, I'll tell you what, you wanna go and see what a manager demands from his players week in, week out, and every single training session you watch that documentary of Pep.
It's good.
Unrivaled, mate. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what he demands from that group. If they come in and win a game, he goes, you're done all right, but I want things to be perfect. Pulls them up, like he's just like the levels that he sets and demands he puts on his players, and like I have no doubt, like they was behind in this race at one point, but they'll get in front and they'll stay in front in this title race, and thank God.
Right, let's have a little like right now. Let's put our neck on the line. 2 questions, boys. Who's the 3 teams that go up, go down, and who's the 3 teams that go up? So I'm going to give you now the top of the Championship. Ipswich 89.
Yeah.
Leicester 88. Leeds 87. Southampton 84, coming into form. West Brom 72. Norwich coming into massive form 71. Who comes up firstly?
Well, first and foremost, you mentioned Southampton there, right? So they're currently playing as we do this podcast. Che Adams scoring 2 goals. He got himself a brace there. 3 goals up against Preston. Now, what people didn't realise about Southampton is they're 2 games in hand behind Ipswich and Leeds. So they're winning this first one now. They win their next game, they're on 87. They're on the same points as Leeds and 2 points behind Ipswich. But what's really interesting about Southampton is the matches that they've got coming. They've got both Leeds and Leicester away, right? Can you imagine if they go and beat that? Now, I think coming up automatic promotions places, I think Ipswich, and I think I'm going to put my neck on the line and say Southampton, you know.
Wow.
I'm going to go to 2 that are there. I know Leicester have been wobbling, but I think they'll find a little bit of rhythm and just about get over the line. And I'll go, which is top 2 goes up, and then obviously one's based on the playoffs. Playoff, so I'll go Leeds in the playoffs. I think whoever's going to have to go to Elland Road that'd be a hostile atmosphere.
Well, you've got Leicester. Leicester's next game on Saturday at home is to West Brom. Yeah, West Brom in the playoff positions at the moment. Then they face Southampton. Now, that game is going to be massive, right? Then they go away to Preston. You say winnable game, but they lost to Plymouth in the week on Friday. And then they host Blackburn. Oh, mate, it's brilliant. And again, as I say, just to bring it all back to, I like to bookend things, yeah? Back to what we're saying. The argument started earlier on in this podcast about Spurs' performance in that. I don't believe or agree that elite athletes ever wake up and they fancy one game over another one. Sometimes it can transpire to that on the pitch because you just don't, the game doesn't go your way. The Newcastle game, as soon as I saw those chances that we ruined early doors, I knew what time it was. Yeah. Because as soon as we lose the ball in possession, it's going to, and this is why it's happened at Fulham, Brighton, you know, we got a couple of goals at the end of Brighton, but we got Dick there as well. Fulham away, Brighton away, Newcastle away. You know, this happens. It's to do with those tactics. Now, the plan B is always the discussion. He needs a plan B. He does need a plan B. But this guy don't want a plan B. He wants his plan A. But to do his plan A, we need better players. And we've always had this discussion on this podcast. Is it the manager? Is it the players? It's as simple as this. To play that style in the Premier League, if you're going to just do that, the players need to be better. Or get yourself a plan B. Get a little bit more defensive-minded and then maybe go for a little bit of a more of an attacking style at some point. But with a plan A and Timo Werner, Kulusevski, Brennan Johnson, etc., ain't going to work.
Yeah, look, as I said, look, we've touched on it. I'm not going to go into the debate again. I just think that there's a lot of players that are underperforming. Now, I definitely think that they need to be replaced moving forward, but I think other people need to start turning up, and they need to turn up quickly, and they need to turn up against Arsenal. Because I tell you what, if you put in the performance levels that we've been putting in against them, we'll get beat, and yeah, it could be heavy.
Personally, for Spurs, I totally agree with you. The performance levels have got to go up. I think the Arsenal game is key to the season. I think that if Ange gets it right, we go on and get fourth. I think the team that he picks is massive. I think it's that bigger game. If we win that game, I think we go on and get fourth. In terms of teams that are coming up, I think that personally, look, I'm just been looking at the fixtures. I think Leicester have got three home games left. They've got that game in hand. I think they get there. And I think that probably Ipswich, we're looking at the games, they finished second. And I think through the playoffs, I think Southampton finished third, Leeds finished fourth. And I've got to go Leeds beating Southampton like 2-1 in the playoffs. So the top three go up. Teams going down for me, it definitely Sheffield United, Burnley, because I think they're too far away, even though I think they're in form. And I'm praying it's probably going to be Luton, but I want it to be Forest or Everton. But I think it's going to be Luton. That's my opinion. For Spurs, I think everything hinges on the Arsenal game. Everything.
Arsenal.
It can't
get any bigger, can it?
No, it's the biggest game.
And guys, you know what? If they can't get up for that game, then my God.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know we obviously, it's good because you have different angles, different debates, different topics of conversation. That's what it's all about. Do you know what I mean? I can't just be going, I agree. We're going to have different points of opinion. And I think that we've expressed that on this show tonight. And I'll tell you one thing, Madge, like, it would be devastating if we got beat against that Arsenal team. And that is one that you won't be able to forget very quickly, because that will go with you through the week, son. I'm telling you, mate. Because
if they beat us and they win the league, I'll be like,
cool. Long term,
didn't win the league though, did you? Bye bye. But yeah, forget them.
Yeah, obviously, just to finish up. Oh, obviously, yeah, yeah. Dele Alli. Did you catch him last night, Monday Night Football?
Oh, yeah, we spoke to him about Dele. Got away on a tangent.
Obviously, it was very, very interesting because look, we're talking about players. Well, I have speaking about players who haven't been turning up consistently. That guy in a Spurs shirt for a period of time turned up consistently every game and delivered. And he would become a big game player for us, didn't he? and was exceptional. And like, how good would a prime Dele Alli be? And it was nice to see him back on the airs last night. Obviously in good shape, looked in good condition. Obviously, he's hungry to get back in, and he made a joke that it weren't really a joke, something serious really. He sets a daily reminder on his phone at 11 a.m. World Cup 2026 is his target, playing for Everton. Long, long way to go to get back to that.
He what? Is that a joke?
No, it's not. No, serious. That's a serious goal that he's got.
2026.
He'll be back in England.
He'll be 30 year old. There's no way in earth he's
backs
get
his
there.
Ability, but no doubt a top player. And look, he's had a lot of issues with mental health, so hopefully he's got that sorted. And it was just nice to see him, mate, because he was going through a lot of the goals and his rivalry with Chelsea, and he was saying that obviously Chelsea become the main rivals to that Spurs group more than Arsenal. Obviously Battle at the Bridge and et cetera. It was a good watch, really. So I encourage anyone to try and watch that back.
Where do you think he's going to end up, guys? Because he's obviously out of contract to Everton. Does he go to like Luton, like Ross Barkley, and revive his career? Is it a team coming up? Is it someone like Burnley with someone like Kompany, where he can drop down and have a year in Championship and rediscover his form? Because he's a lost cause. He's not like Ndombele. Where does he go? What kind of manager can get the best out of him?
I'm just having a look at the table and like the teams that could possibly take him. Crystal Palace, like, you know what I mean, like that's where he's at, really and truly. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I think he owes Everton a bit one, don't you think? He owes him a little bit of a return. Like, he's not kicked a football for them.
But I tell you what, him playing under Sean Dyche is pointless.
Yeah, you're right. You know, if you're playing for England, you can't be playing in the low level and that's in the top of the Championship. If your target to be playing for England,
I'll tell you where he'd do back well. Yourself. Do you know where he'd do well?
Wolves. Man United. Well, yeah, Gary O'Neill. Good shot, yeah.
He plays a good style of football, Gary O'Neill.
I tell you, he'd do well. Prime, our bloody club. If he was in the prime slot,
yeah, but he ain't.
Yeah, I know. But I tell you, if he's backing himself to play for England, you're going to have to be in the prime slots. Be interesting to see this journey, mate, because he was paramount. He backs his ability. He was adamant. Sorry.
Wait, honestly, I'm just looking at his stats there, yeah? That 2016-17 season.
Unrivaled.
18 goals.
Yeah, unbelievable.
37 appearances, 18 goals.
Made it look easy, match. Turned up all the time.
And like, Brighton, guys. You reckon Brighton?
Yeah. I think he's going to have to do it to play, to be in an Everton shirt for a little time. I can't see it, match. I think it's been too long. I think the out of football at the highest level. But look, it's nice to see him, like, obviously with that sort of mindset that he still thinks he can do a bit. But I'd be very, very surprised if you see Dele Alli at the top end of Premier League football again.
Before we sign off, boys, quick trivia for you. I'm gonna ask Simo. I'm not gonna ask Gaz because he can see the answers. But let's give Simo a bit of trivia. Go on, then. So Simo, all-time Premier League player stats. Which Spurs player has the most Premier League appearances?
It's Hugo Lloris.
Correct. 1 out of 1. Which all-time Premier League player for Spurs has the most goals?
Harry Kane.
Absolutely. Bonus points if you can name me how many.
260.
213 Premier League.
Oh, Premier League. All right.
Who has the most assists for Tottenham in the Premier League?
Harry Kane or Heung-min Son?
Harry Kane is fourth on the list.
Oh, interesting.
Heung-min Son is third on the list.
Oh, Van der Vaart.
Van der Vaart isn't even on the top 10 list.
In the Premier League?
Premier League.
It's not Moussa Saib, I'll let you know that.
It's Aaron Lennon.
It's not Aaron Lennon.
Is it?
Aaron Lennon is fifth on the list.
Fifth, all right. So then, Darren Anderton.
Darren Anderton is number one with 67 assists.
Yeah, yeah.
And that number two, Christian Eriksen.
That didn't it, Madge?
Anyone say Christian Eriksen, yeah.
And then the most wins as a Spurs player.
It's got to be Harry, hasn't it?
No, Hugo Lloris, 205. Harry with 175.
not bad there. B minus there for Mr. Simmons.
Yeah, not too bad. He's done okay.
Done all right.
Cheers, lads.
Guys, listen, we've had a long evening. Before the pod, we've had a bit of a business discussion about the SOS and moving it forward. Just again, bookmark the whole show. We're talking about starting a Patreon that you guys can become a part of, the hashtag SOS fam. We're talking about £5 a month, something like that. Gaz are out of work, giving us more content. Us coming together to bring you excellent content week in, week out. I think it sounds like the future. What do you reckon, Simo?
I think it's the next step, and I'm excited to take it with you boys.
Gazza, you will require a uniform. I'm thinking like a pink thong with like SOS on the front.
Monkey.
Blood pressure checked every single day.
that's life anyway for you, mate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. To be fair.
Brilliant. Big shout out to your dad, Steve, as well.
Yeah.
Get the blood pressure hit with him as well.
Yeah, oh, mate. I blame him a little bit for my shift tonight.
Oh, no.
he just kills me.
I could feel the essence of Steve tonight. You know, he messaged me, he goes, "The thing is, Kev, I was going to go out Saturday night with my pals. I didn't go out." And I'm like, "What are you doing? Go out, Steve. Enjoy." I'll tell you what we're doing here with Stevie King now. I'm going to put it out there and eat another curry. Yeah. We're going out for a curry with Steve.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Get curry in with Steve. Listen, thank you, guys. Don't forget, at Same Old Spurs Pod across all the socials. Really enjoyed tonight, actually. I thought I wouldn't because of the whole thing, but listen, this is what it's all about. This is the beauty of football. Everyone's got their opinions. No one's right. They're all opinions.
That's right.
I'm not going to do that phrase because it's a bit rude, and we have kids that listen to us. Anyway, from Madge, Gaz and Simo from Dubai and the HQ here in Hertfordshire, thank you. Good night.
That was perfect.